Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Welcome to Deep Exposure, a promotional talk show for individuals who have a passion for what they bring to the world. Here, we are talking about you, the artist, the promoter, the entrepreneur, and the community service organizer. If you have a voice, we have a platform and the marketing to getting your individual voice heard. Welcome to Deep Exposure. Sponsor for this program is Prosperity. Looking for ways to cut down your payments, whether it is your mortgage, your credit card payments, or your loans? Allow Prosperity to win in your life. Go to bit.ly/prosperitywon. Again, that's bit.ly/prosperitywon.
Hey, everybody, this is Corey Rashad. I want to thank everybody for coming in and coming on. This is our inaugural show for Deep Exposure. Definitely excited today. We've got some awesome guests that are coming in to speak to you about what it is that they do. I'm hoping everybody enjoyed their Martin Luther King Day. Was out there celebrating or reminiscing or going back in time and thinking about what we've gone through as African American in this country and what Martin Luther King has done to allow us to be who we are and to allow us to do what we do. We've had many people pave the way for us to do what it is that we do in America as African Americans, Indigenous Americans, and immigrant Americans of the diaspora. So, you know, I always like to look at the positive and say that, you know, this is America, and it is a great place to be living compared to some other places in the world. It's a place where it's a land of opportunities. And if we don't take advantage of those opportunities, where would we be? So I want to put out the number for those that want to call in. Our first guest will be Tiffany Knowles. The call-in number here for Deep Exposure is 909-232-9222. I'm going to give you guys a little time to get your pen and paper. Just in case you want to write it down again, I'll say it again. The number here is 909-232-9222. Can't go wrong with that. And Happy New Year, too, to everybody. We're still in the new year. I tell people when they say Happy New Year to me, I'm already into the spring of 2018 and preparing for a lot of things. And, you know, we have some people that will be that it will be information throughout this show talking about some of the things that we're doing. This is not the launch. This is a pre-launch for Deep Exposure. We will launch in February, but I'll give you some more information at the end of the show about that. But our first guest for this evening is Tiffany Knowles, and here's a little bit of information about her.
Deep Exposure wants to welcome Tiffany Knowles. Tiffany Knowles of Jamaican and Bohemian heritage is the co-author of the book, Holla America, Guts, Grit, Grind, and Further Traits and the successful American immigrant. She is also a professor of communication and journalism at Barry University. She is the faculty advisor to the college's Book and Year newspaper. Since 2009, she has served as the managing editor for New Magazine, an online art and progressive culture publication. She holds an associate's degree in journalism from Miami-Dade, a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism from Barry University, and a master's degree in arts and humanities education from New York University.
I want to thank you. See, I haven't even said anything yet. I want to introduce Tiffany Knowles. Tiffany, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Welcome to you too, Corey. I'm happy to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. So give us a little bit more information about what it is you do and a little bit about the book that you wrote as well, because I know we're talking about some interesting things and what's going on in the news today. This is really poignant.
Yep. Sure. I'm multivocational. I'm a professor of communication studies at Barry University in Miami, Florida. And I'm also the co-author of a book that is definitely salient because of the current political landscape and media firestorm surrounding the S-hole nations that many of these nations were referred to. I actually talk about a lot of these nations in my book. And the book is called Hola America, Guts, Grit, Grind, and Further Traits in the Successful American Immigrant. These nations, most of those that I discuss, which is the ones that are in question, they're developing nations. They are third world nations, and that's the term we used to use. And obviously, their economies are somewhat dilapidated. They do come to this country for a better life. They are voluntary immigrants. And so voluntary immigrants, as we know, we've done great study on them. They have a lot more perseverance and work ethic than involuntary immigrants, according to John Ogbu. So they come seeking a better life, and they'll do everything that they can in order to provide that better life for themselves and their family. And a byproduct of that is tremendous contribution to the American economy. This has been studied for years, the immigrant effect. So, yeah, that's what it's about.
What inspired you to do this?
The inspiration was, much of what's going on today was exactly the inspiration. So I co-wrote this with my dad. He's also a writer. And it was his, he wrote a column about a true immigrant story. He heard a lot that was going on in the news, and I have an online publication called NEWD, Nude Magazine, Bearing All to Expose Truth, and he wrote a true immigrant story about someone he knew who was an extraordinary, yet ordinary, immigrant, and I told him, this is amazing, we need to spin this into a book about true immigrants and their stories and how they battled odds and have been able to overcome and some of the principles that they used or the secrets to their success. So that's what we did.
Right.
We spun his column into a book.
Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. Give us a few of the stories, you know, something short and simple that the audience might be interested in.
Of course. So a lot of great stories in the book. I'll tell you one that has received a lot of interest and attention. It's an extreme tearjerker. There is a woman by the name of Perlita Coombs in the book who moved from Jamaica to New York, and she moved on her own. She left her husband and her kids back in Jamaica, but oftentimes it's a little bit easier to move individually as opposed to a whole brood of people. So this is what immigrants do often. So she came and she was in domestic work for a while, and then as she saved money, she first got her permanent residency, and then she began to bring her children and then eventually her husband to the United States. And then she started working in nursing, home health aid, those kinds of jobs. But the thing that was surprising about her story is that as she brought all of her members, all the members of her family here, she began losing them to tragedy.
Oh.
So cancer struck many times in her family. And actually, after I wrote the book, she lost another son. This woman is extremely strong. She lost her husband, though, shortly after he arrived in the country. So pretty much she raised five black boys in the Bronx, New York, by herself, which is incredibly hard to do for any person. Even if you have a two-parent home, she was by herself. And she worked a lot of jobs, as you know, because she's Jamaican.
Right.
She had a lot of jobs. She had, but she was also single, so she had to. So she had a lot of jobs, and many different ones that she would, like, go home, change her uniform, and then put on the other uniform to go to the other job. But she raised these boys, and, you know, this was, like, crime-ridden Bronx, New York.
These boys
turned out really well. Like, she got them in, like, extracurricular activities so they'd stay out of trouble and stuff. They turned out really well, like, amazing professionals working for the government, one in the military. They all turned out exceptionally well. But the tragedy that struck her home, almost took the life out of her, but she didn't allow that kind of tragedy or the struggle of raising five black boys in the Bronx, New York, or the fact that she had to work so many jobs in order to stay afloat. She didn't allow any of that to break her spirit.
Nice.
And
nice,
say
nice.
No more on that story, but that's just the kind of, it's just one of many, but that's the kind of stories that you'll read.
Gotcha. Now, as a first generation, are you first generation American here?
Yeah.
Or
I'm
second
generation American? Yeah.
On a day like today, being Martin Luther King, real quickly, because I want to see if anybody wants to speak to you. You know, what does it feel like? You know, what is it like to be a first-generation immigrant here, in a sense? One thing, you were born in America, is that correct?
Yep, indeed.
Okay, so you're born in America, so first-generation here, and knowing the history of your family coming here, you know, what does a day like today mean to you?
Well, Dr. Martin Luther King is actually one of my role models. I loved his story. I loved what he taught us how to do. I learned much of his quotes, and I read a lot of his letters growing up as a child. I don't know. He just inspired me so much. And I remember thinking about my mom, and when I would, because I was learning a lot about equality and civil rights movement and stuff in school, and I'd bring it to her attention. And when I would hear racial slurs or I would be slighted because of my race, she would remind me a lot of what she came here for and how when she first moved here, actually her story is an epilogue in the book. When she first moved here, back up a little bit, her in Jamaica, as much of a race issue as there is in the United States, or I would say as there was when she first moved to the United States in the 70s, or as there still is in 2018, but anyway, as there was in the 70s. So when she moved here, she remembers the biggest culture shock for her in New York when she first moved was that people saw her as different, not because she was an immigrant, but because she was black, and she remembers being extremely friendly. She went to art school, so she was very friendly with everyone. And she did have a lot of white friends. They would invite her, like, on their boat and to go to Staten Island with them and all of these things, on weekend trips and parties. And her black friends would invite her to parties as well, but she remembers the rooms being very segregated. She remembers the white parties. So her white friends who would invite her, the party would be white and she'd be the only one. And then when she'd go to parties with her black friends, it would be completely black guests. She thought that was very weird. She was like, well, what is this segregation all about? What is this all about? This is strange. Because in Jamaica, everyone lives together and they go to each other's parties. And she also remembers, which is in the book as well, she remembers the day she got on the dean's list. And they posted everyone who was on the dean's list in the elevators of all an entire school. And she walked in with her white friend in the elevator one that day, and her white friend said, "Oh my gosh, Gloria, you made the dean's list. That's awesome." She said she was very proud. She was like, "Yeah, that is cool." And there were black people in the elevator, and she saw their faces looking at her kind of with these sidelong looks. Like, I don't know what they were thinking, but perhaps they were thinking, oh, why is she so smart? Or why is she being congratulated by a white person? Or why does she even have the attention of a white person? I don't know, but she just remembers feeling unappreciated by a fellow black person in the elevator.
Right.
So those are things that I have grappled with for a lot of time. I've read Losing the Race by John McWhorter, Authentically Black. He wrote a really great book on these kinds of topics of maybe anti-intellectualism or post-literate black communities. It's almost like we don't think it's authentically black to be friends with white people, or it's not authentically black to be well-read. These are things that I don't think Dr. Martin Luther King would have ever wanted us to still have to experience, or even he wanted us to be on the same playing field.
And
he wanted us to be.
About,
oh no, he didn't. He wanted us to be intellectual. He wanted us to be well read. He wanted us to be able to get any job that we wanted to apply for, and he wanted us to be friends with people of other races.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is our stint of time, so I want to
I'm sorry.
At least it's okay.
Okay.
I want to let people know where they can find the book, give them that information, and when we actually launch officially in February, you will be in our directory, and people will be able to get it there. But for right now, where can people find the book?
Oh, great. The paperback and electronic versions are on Amazon.com. So just go ahead, type the name of the book in, Hola America, H-O-L-A, America, and you can put Tiffany Knowles and it'll come right up if you do a search. It'll come up in Google if you do a search, but you can purchase it at Amazon.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Tiffany, always great speaking with you. I'm wishing you the
best on the
book and the best with what you're doing. So
thank you for coming on,
Deep Exposure. You're welcome.
I appreciate it. You're welcome.
Okay. Peace.
Bye-bye.
UBIS Media is a content-based directory, a co-creative partner with Deep Exposure. UBIS Media offers various packages that include and consist of audio interviews, promotional articles and video, and webinar production. UBIS Media is where people get to know you and your business, your talent, or your organization. For more information, go to EEProductions.com. That is the word double, two E's, productions with an S, .com. Join EE Productions in February when we launch our Black Success, which is a part of our Changing How We See Black Business and Our Lives series. Black Success is a Sunday webinar series. On Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will learn from experienced individuals on how to navigate life and careers from the black perspective. We are sharing our affiliations of top black professionals who are forward thinkers, movers, and shakers. We are calling our webinar series Black Success Sunday. Don't miss out on the opportunity to fill your plate with information. Go to EEProductions.com. That's double, two E's, productions with an S, .com.
So we're ready to bring on our next guest. Our next guest is Melissa P. Bernier. Look, I got something on here. I always mess up her name. I'm going to have to forgive myself, but I have it recorded. So check it out, Melissa.
Deep Exposure would like to introduce Melissa P. Bernier, Esquire. Melissa P. Bernier, Esquire is a New York native of Haitian descent and is a principal and managing attorney of Bernier Legal, LLC, a boutique, entertainment, fashion, and business law firm. Ms. Bernier completed her undergraduate studies with a degree in politics at New York University and earned her law degree from Hofstra University School of Law, during which time she briefly studied under the direction of Justice Antonin Scalia of the United States Supreme Court. Ms. Bernier is a member of the New York State Bar and Business Law Section of the New York State Bar Association, the Metropolitan Black Bar Association, the Black Entertainment and Sports Lawyers Association, and Haitian Roundtable.
Welcome, Melissa. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Bernier here. I always want to pronounce the R. Bernier, right?
It's Bernier.
Yes. I actually went to pronounce.com yesterday to make sure I got it right. But let us introduce yourself, you know, personally. I mean, you're in the you're an attorney, as it said, and you're in fashion, you're in business, and also, is it music or just fashion? Entertainment. So give us a little in-depth information about that, what it is that you do.
All right, great. So like that introduction stated, I am a New York-based attorney. I am the principal and managing attorney of Bernier Legal, LLC. My practice focuses on entertainment, fashion, and business law. Within the realm of entertainment, I work with musicians, songwriters, producers, authors, screenwriters, directors, anyone in the entertainment industry, I work with them. Same thing in fashion. I work with models, photographers, fashion designers, fashion houses. You know, I run the gamut of the industry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why did you get into this? Is this a passion of yours? You know, how did you start and really get your foothold into this industry of law?
Well, I've wanted to be a lawyer since I was 4 years old, and I wanted to be an entertainment lawyer since I was 10. So that's just been the goal ever since then.
Okay. Do you come from a family of lawyers, or?
I do not. I'm the first lawyer in my family.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So if someone was supposed to come to you or were coming to you, entertainment, I'm thinking you're dealing with musicians, mm-hmm. What type of artists do you actually work with? Let me ask you that first.
When it comes to artists come in a variety of different flavors, I guess you can say. There are, you know, up-and-coming artists. There are developed artists. Artists can mean singers, performers, producers, songwriters. That's the variety of the artists that I work with.
Okay. And when, actually, to tell you the truth, you know, I've been in this industry for 22 years and work with artists from every level. I mean, I used to manage artists, you know, in college, you know. When should an artist really start coming and getting a lawyer, especially in the day of technology and the age of, you know, people putting their music up and out? I've actually had an ex-girlfriend whose son produced music, and he's putting it up on SoundCloud, and I'm like, you may want to protect what you're putting up, you know. So when should artists, you know, come to you? And actually, for parents who have young children, right, who are artists, you know, when should they approach you?
I think in the beginning of anyone's career, you should kind of seek out as much information as you can to get a proper lay of the land. As a new and up-and-coming artist, you may not be able to bring an attorney onto your team. But that being said, it behooves you to kind of at least sit with an attorney and figure out what the attorney can do for you, what they should do for you, and how that fits into your career, and kind of work towards bringing that person on your team. So to answer your question bluntly, I would say at the beginning of any artist's career.
Gotcha. In terms of business, what kind of businesses do you work with?
I work with a variety of businesses. ranging from, the beauty industry, restaurant industry, tech startups, fashion lines. I mean, I work with a wide variety of entrepreneurs.
Let me ask you a question about fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious in the sense of, I mean, I understand why people would need lawyers, but why would I need a lawyer in fashion?
Well, you're still operating within a business. And there are certain issues that arise in the fashion industry that sort of trigger legal protection or legal enforcement, and particularly that intellectual property, whether you can copyright a design. What happens when someone steals your design? You have a product line named after you. Can you trademark that? You're looking to open a retail space within Macy's. How do you do that? You are importing, silk in order to make your dresses. How does that work with customs? So there are a lot of different legal disciplines that play out in the fashion industry.
Very interesting.
Much like any industry, to be honest. I mean, fashion, within the last, I want to say, 30 years or so, the legal industry has kind of began specializing in certain niche markets. It's not to say that someone that's in fashion has different issues than someone that's a tech startup, but, the legal industry has recognized that certain industries have certain specific needs. And, legalities are the thread that, run through every industry.
Mm-hmm. True. I think, a lot of people get caught up. I know I have in the past. With some things going out and not being protected. And we really, I think the digital age just makes it more important for people to really seek out legal aid, because you put things up and now people are taking things down and people are, cut and paste, an image.
Yeah.
And, a lot of photographers are finding, issues around that or seeing their content being used for someone's advertisement and the such. So, back in the day, it was okay to cut and paste. Nobody was going to find you. But I think they have these algorithms that research or that can find certain images that are out there. And so they, or these programs, too, where you can just put it up online and have something searched to find out if a match shows up. So for those that are listening, if you are taking anything from any other type of sites, it's now easier to find that you're using something that you may not have licensed, Where can people find you? How do they get in touch with Ms. Bernier?
You can visit my website. It's www.bernierlegal.com. And Bernier is spelled B as in boy, E-R, N as in Nancy, I-E-R. You can also find us on social media at Bernier Legal. That would be Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on every social media platform.
Okay, fantastic. Like I'm telling everybody, this is our inaugural soft launch. So in February, she will have a page in our directory, U-List Media, and we'll be pushing you out so that people can find you there as well. So I want to thank you for coming on with us.
Perfect.
And letting us know what it
thank
is.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Bye. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
W Productions produces Deep Hues Live, a live streaming platform for diverse talent of artists that are creating empowering musical vibrations. In collaboration with our partners, Brook Vision and Starchild 7 Entertainment, we are bringing legends to our stages. Deep Hues Live, currently in the pre-production stages, with our first performance, we are hosting a farm-to-table event. August 31st, W Productions is producing a dinner theater. Four local chefs cooking fresh food from the farm for 300 to 340 people. DPVM will live stream the event to individuals living in 218 countries where DPVN has been viewed. Our events will put a portion of our proceeds towards organizations that assist black farmers in North Carolina. Already on the ticket to perform is pianist Benjamin Bradham, born in Greensboro, North Carolina, a graduate of North Carolina School of the Arts and the Juilliard School, where he received his Master's of Music degree. DPVN Live is currently seeking sponsors, in-venue advertisers, and supporters. For more information about DPVN Live, go to wproductions.com. That's double, two E's, productions with an S, .com.
Okay, well, I'm going to go right into playing Gabriel Rich's intro, and then we'll introduce him next. But he's our next guest on Deep Exposure.
I want to introduce Gabriel Rich to Deep Exposure. Gabriel Rich is a host of The Rich Report, a weekly radio show that offers a point of view from a different perspective. The Rich Report comes from the point of view that African Americans are not African, but rather they are indigenous to the Americas. In short, Gabriel feels that we are those Indians that they speak of. The show, in its second year, reaches over 3,000 devoted listeners on average. The Rich Report touches on various topics that affect the lives of indigenous Negro Indians.
Hey, Gabriel, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Corey? How's everything?
Yeah, it is well. I'm doing good. I haven't been on the radio for a minute, but I'm getting it. So
yeah, you're natural.
Thank you, buddy. Look, we got about 13 minutes to get you in, and you've got a lot to say. I know. Tell us about your whole what you're really doing with this whole Indigenous American knowledge.
Well, what I'm doing with it is trying to awaken minds, if you will, trying to unplug people from the matrix that we're in and the belief that we are of African descent, even though we don't seem to fit the narrative, even though the stories don't hold true. But this is what we've been told, and this is now what we've been indoctrinated into for the better part of over a century. So, but people are waking up because, mainly because a lie can only last but for so long. So, my job or my mission is to just get people to question history, examine history on their own, become more learned rather than educated.
Right. And how did you get into this?
Well, it's kind of funny because I won't say I was deep into the whole Afrocentric movement. I wasn't. But I was deep enough in it. But nothing, when you're searching for the truth, right, which is what the journey that I was on even back then, I'm still on, nothing seemed to fit, not to mention the fact that the things that my grandparents and my elders told me started to ring louder. The more proof I started, I started to pull back the layers of the lies. A lot of things that the elders told me rang true. I remember after Roots in 77, I'm like 10, 11 years old. And I said to my big mama, big mama, we're from Africa. And she looked at me, this woman was born in 1908, and she told me, we ain't from no Africa. I don't know nothing about North Africa. We from right here. And she didn't want to come out and tell me exactly what the deal was, but she let me know that we're not from Africa. And most elders of that time would tell you that. So I just started reading and discovering and reading deeper than what I was told to read, So from there was really no turning back.
Right. So give us a little history on I've heard your radio show many times, been on and discussed some things with you. In terms of the slave trade. Now I know that you've come up with this whole equation that, you know, not that many people came over on the boat, you know. Enlighten our audience about that.
Well, I didn't just come up with this. It's written down in the registry. Remember, Europeans kept notes of everything. Okay, and what I discovered was no more than maybe tops 200,000 to 250,000 Europeans ever made the trip here. Africans ever made the trip here, and it didn't start in 1619. This belief that 12 million Africans were shipped here while 100 million were lost at sea, that would be a lot of bodies lost and a lot of money lost, right? And, you know, it was a business. I would say for about an 80-year period, about maybe 200,000, 250 tops, Africans ever made it here, starting in the 17th or 18th century, probably about 1740 or so. Maybe 1720, and for a period of 80 years, they made it here. And only in selected ports, Charleston, South Carolina, Galveston, Texas, New Orleans, obviously, New York Harbor, Boston Harbor.
Right, right. And is there an organization that is centered around the indigenous, you know, Americans? And because, you know, the thing is, you know, we talk about Native Americans, and they're saying that they were the originals that were here. And so you're talking indigenous Americans. And so how do those differ? And is there an organization of indigenous Americans that are educating, disseminating this information, or are we, you know, just haphazardly, you know, finding people like you who have this information or disseminating this information?
Well, the group African Americans Ain't Africans are disseminating the information. Kerry Davis basically started that group some years back, and he's the one who really got me to start questioning some things, right? He asked questions that I couldn't answer, right? And I started doing some research, and I started asking questions that other people could not answer. So a lot of the times when I'm in a debate with a Pan-Africanist, I'll ask five questions, and usually I'll get no answers. But usually what I'll get is insults because they can't answer the questions. And the questions are pretty simple, okay? If 12 million, so-called 12 million Africans made it here, how come Europeans couldn't get themselves by the millions here until the 20th century? So, you know, so how could you? And secondly, you know, do you really think the only proof that you have of a slave ship is a drawing, is an artist rendering, right? Do you really think that Africans could make it here lying on their side or their backs on a 3-month journey in some of the coldest and the probably the roughest ocean in the world? Do you really think that they could make it here alive? And the answer would be no. Even going down to Brazil, when you're going down to Brazil and you're going down to South America, you're going down to the bottom of the world, you're going to freeze to death. Not to mention the fact that you have to feed them rats, the whole nine. So and they're on sail ships essentially. They're on sail ships.
Right.
So you're dependent upon the current to even get you here. One thing I want to state, Corey, is a lot of the stuff that people use as proof for this event happening is roots, and they came before Columbus, and both of those are – they came before Columbus is fiction. You know, Ivan Vincerdeman was funded by a certain party that told him what to write. He was Guyanese. He knew well that we're not Africans. And, of course, roots Alice Haley plagiarized.
Right, right, right. Well, I also think there's somewhere that I read or heard that they even tried. They built a ship and it didn't make it. Wasn't there a test study? I don't know if they did it digitally or they actually built a simulation of a slave ship and they tried to sail it from England to Africa to the Americas, and they said it didn't make it.
And they sunk.
So, you know, with the technology then, you know, versus now, But, you know, it does, you know, state that, yeah, how are you feeding all these people and the staff that's running the ship?
Right.
But, you know, there, too, is the science knowledge that Africa is the only rooted country, and that, you know, we've all broken away from, you know, scientifically. It's
yeah.
stated that
yeah.
Africa is the only rooted country that's rooted to the center of this earth, I guess, or, you know, at least, you know, so far down that it's not going to move. And all the other countries and continents, I should say, have broken away from Africa. So hence why we find the pyramid
yeah.
everywhere. And so, you know, so I guess that also feeds into some of the facts that you also talk about. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's more along the lines of the whole out of Africa theory, right? And, of course, white men invented that theory. So, and they taught it to Negroes. The transatlantic slave trade mainly consisted, and people have to remember this, the transatlantic slave trade started from the Americas, which is North, South, Central America, and the Caribbean, to Europe and then Africa, not vice versa, right? And this
right.
is with Columbus.
Right.
And really what they would do is they would steal Indians, prisoners of war here, Negro Indians, send them to somewhere like Barbados, send them to a Caribbean country, send those prisoners of war to the Americas, and that's your transatlantic slave trade. The guy's name, I can't think of his name right now because I'm thinking of him, who made the song Amazing Grace. He was a slaver, right? He'd been
right,
a slaver
right.
since he was 14 years old, and never once did he tell you any written documentation or anything that he ever went to Africa. His slave trade
right.
consisted of the Americas and the Caribbean, just interchanging. That's it. And he was a slaver for over 20 years of his life. So, yeah, the whole slave trade as we know it, the out-of-Africa theory as we know it, they're all frauds. It has nothing to do with us. North America has more pyramids than the rest of the world combined, plus it has the oldest pyramids in the world and the largest. So
interesting.
A civilization was
something.
Already here, and that civilization was us. What's that?
Right.
I'm sorry.
I said I just learned something. I'm going to have to
yes.
tune in. This Thursday. Let people know where they can find you. I'm on my closeout now. And again, thank you for coming on. Let people know where they can find you.
Sure thing. Well, you can always find me on Facebook. The name is Gabriel Rich. And Blog Talk Radio, The Rich Report, comes on every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This week, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the census and how we've been duped with the census and a lot of the effects of the census that came after that. And we're going to tackle reparations and a few other things. My guest is Phoenix Moon, and she drops a lot of knowledge. So you guys should tune in and just remember to keep an open mind.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being a guest on our first show, Gabriel. I look
Thanks
forward
a
to
lot,
hearing Greg. And seeing more of you. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. All right, folks, that is our show. This is Deep Exposure. This is our inaugural show. We will officially launch in February. We have guests for next week. You can also find us on Facebook at Deep Exposure, exposure being spelled X-P-O-S-U-R-E. Again, Deep Exposure. For more information about being a guest on our show and how we work this as a service, we are a marketing firm under Double E Productions, or this is a show under Double E Productions. You can go to doubleeproductions.com, click on podcasts, and make sure that you read through our features and what we do with this program, and then hit the inquiry button, and we'll give you a call. Again, this is Deep Exposure. Supported by Double E Productions, and we look forward to you tuning in every Monday at 8:30. We actually have another show that used to come on at 7. That will be actually our blog, our webinars under Black Success. But again, next Monday, 8:30, we look forward to seeing you. Again, thank you for tuning in.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.